Penguin Random House presents Before I Forget, a memoir written by M.K. Raina, read by P. Mathai Abraham. For my beloved family, Anjali, Anant, Akila, Aditi, and Filippo. Preface. In a lighter vein, I call myself the child of India's socialism. Had it not been for the opportunities that the young state of India provided to people like me with limited economic resources, I could not have even dreamed of doing the things that I did. I was privy to free education, scholarships, fellowships, travels, and a safe and secure atmosphere to explore and experience life. All these allowed me to engage in the projects that questioned and even confronted the powers that be and offered me the opportunity of learning under experienced and committed teachers, whose compassion and empathy for the weak and the marginalized opened unknown worlds for me and engraved in me a sense of commitment for the ordinary. Before I Forget contains the stories and experiences of my travels through the landscapes of this vast country, without many finances, shelter, or support. Many unknown well-wishers opened their doors and supported me in my various endeavors and became friends and fellow travelers. The book has an underlying thematic thread, which keeps changing as the decades of India's tryst with destiny continue taking unknown directions. While sharing my personal struggles, defeats, humiliation, and triumphs, along with some life-threatening instances, there is a great satisfaction within me that I did participate in the things that I believed in. While creating plays, films, or cultural events, etc., one had to be aware that India is living simultaneously in many centuries together, from the ages of primitive lifestyles to the highly digital space age. Thus, I have faced the challenge of treading the present while creating contemporary Indian cultural experiences that are avant-garde and which have national and international outlooks. Many years ago, I was on a teaching assignment at the theatre department of the Central University of Hyderabad. In the evenings, I would spend my time with the faculty members, and during those hours, I would narrate some of my experiences about my work in theatre or films. One day, Ananta Krishna, then the head of the department, suddenly said, "M.K., why don't you write about these multiple experiences?" I just brushed off his suggestions, but he insisted, "You know, you have done so much work in so many different regions, in different languages and cultures. But the problem with you is that you do not write. People should know what it is to work under the conditions you have been working in," Krishna added. I just laughed and forgot all about it. In 2000, I arrived in the Kashmir Valley. My journey here started with me secretly conducting a theatre workshop camp at a place hidden behind the Zabarwan Mountains. This was like entering through a needle hole. Militancy was at its peak in that era. Kashmir was still in a frozen turbulence. After working for many years in the villages with traditional folk performers, one day I had a visitor from Stanford University's theatre school, Dr. Jisha Menon. She stayed with us in a Kashmiri village for a few days and watched many folk theatre performances. During our free time, we would exchange notes, generally talk about my work during very tough times, particularly about the problems we faced off and on about unexpected difficulties. One morning she said, "M.K., you must share these experiences. People should know what it is like working in the conflict zone." I did not respond. While these kinds of suggestions kept on coming from friends and well-wishers, India's socio-political situation kept on taking new strange and dangerous twists and turns, whether it was the murder of my friend Safdar Hashmi while performing a street play, or the rise of the Hindu right and its politics. The nation seemed to be taking unusual historical turns, culturally and politically. Losing my home in Kashmir was like a hidden wound which needed to be healed. Many years later, COVID-19 put a full stop to my work and travels. I got stuck at home for the first time in my life. I did not know what to do, only hearing the stories of death and devastation of the ordinary public. I started feeling suffocated. One day, out of frustration, I took out my car and, along with two kids of my domestic help Ravi, Abhi and Kabi, drove around Noida and Greater Noida for about an hour and a half and returned home feeling very empty, like those lonely, empty roads which I had traveled. The next morning, I started writing whatever I remembered, particularly those incidents and experiences which had impacted me and had also shaped me as a person. This journey down memory lane took me back to places, regions, and the people from many decades ago, with whom I had spent the best and crucial moments of my life. I had shared their angst and their joys, or collaborated in creating some of the best cultural resistance events. I want to thank my late parents, Babuji and Babi, who in their mundane simplicity instilled in me values of compassion and care from my early age, which I have been trying to preserve and practice. The only regret is whenever I remember them, I feel very sad for them for becoming homeless in their old age. It is like a dark and permanent mark left in my psyche. My respects to my teachers from my school days, particularly to late Dinanath Nadeem, the iconic poet, for inculcating in me the values of Kashmiri culture and its legacy. My gratitude to the late Ibrahim Al-Qazi, the director at the National School of Drama. While trying to make me a professional theatre person, he gave me a talisman which I hold very essential in whatever I do. His words that I always remember when he said to me, "You know, Raina, in our country, if you want to achieve anything, remember to lead yourself from the front and don't wait for someone else to lead you." I want to thank my friends and mentors in Kashmir who joined me in those days of death-like silences, who supported and helped me when I stepped into the valley to see if I could be one of the catalysts for reclaiming those shared cultural spaces which were almost buried under the boots of militancy. Grateful thanks for their guidance goes to Saleem Beg, Nigat Shafi, Shafi Pandit, Naeem Akhtar, Naseem Shafai, Rehman Rahi, Amin Kamil, and many more. My heartfelt thanks to Manzoor Ahmed Mir, Hakim Javed, Arshad Mustaq, who joined hands with me from the very beginning of my work in the valley. Many a time they risked their lives so that I could carry on my work without any tensions, and now they are carrying on their own, the reclaiming of the cultural spaces in the valley. Before I forget, could not have been complete without the support of the Ustads of the Band Pater community of Akingam. The guidance and teaching lessons I received from the late Ali Muhammad Bhagat, Ghulam Rasool Bhagat, late Ghulam Ahmed Bhagat, Ghulam Mohd Bhagat, Ghulam Rasool Bhagat Jr. and Gul Muhammad Bhagat. Apart from being fantastic theatre performers, they opened my eyes to understanding the multi-layered Rishi or Sufi traditions of the valley, where the Buddhist, Shaivite and Islamic confluences have created a unique sacred principle of living in harmony, popularly known as Kashmiriyat. I am indebted to them for adopting me as an integral part of their families, despite their poverty. At Sehmat, or Safdar Hashmi Memorial Trust, for more than 3.5 decades of contesting and creating together with the best of the minds in the area of culture. I'm grateful to Rajendra Prasad, Sohail Hashmi, Ram Rehman, Parthiv Shah, Rajendra Arora, Shabnam Hashmi and Madan Gopal Singh, and the solid support of Ashok, Banti and Naresh. It has been a dream team for creating the art of cultural resistance in the present contemporary times in India. I miss Vivan Sundaram at Sehmat these.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?